Yesterday, Republican leaders in the Arizona House forced a vote on their signature policy proposal baked into a budget deal reached with Governor Doug Ducey, a massive income tax cut with most of the tax relief going to the wealthiest Arizonans. It failed, leaving lawmakers with no clear path to passing a budget ahead of a June 30th deadline to avoid a state government shutdown. Here to recap Monday's events is our own Ben Giles. Hey there, Ben.
Good morning, Mark.
So how rare is it for a budget to fail on a vote? Usually, leaders don't bring up the vote, the budget, until they know they have the votes for it. So how unusual is this?
This is kind of unheard of, but the failure on Monday wasn't a surprise given what we knew about the budget and what we knew about Republicans in the House. It was pretty clear that Republicans weren't all going to vote for the budget. It was just a matter of figuring out how many wouldn't vote for it. We still might not even know that because they didn't vote on the entire budget yesterday. That's 11 bills, but they did get right to the sticking point. That's the tax cut, a plan to flatten Arizona's income tax rate and cap income tax liability at 4.5%. It's well known that Globe Republican David Cook is no fan of that plan, but Republican leaders like Ben Thoma forced him to vote on it anyway. Here was an exchange between Cook and Thoma on the House floor.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Majority Leader, do you think that I don't want to cut taxes?
Wait. Mr. Chairman, Representative Cook, I think we're about to find out.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Majority Leader, I think we are. You wanted me here on record. I'm here.
If it wasn't clear already, that exchange made it crystal clear. Monday's vote was all about pressuring Cook to just get on board with the rest of the caucus. But as we later saw, he stuck to his guns.
All right, so Ben, let's talk about the dynamics at the Capitol. It's been brewing all year. Why is Cook's vote so important? He is, after all, just one vote.
Well, it's because Republicans only have a one-vote majority in the House. There's 31 Republicans and 29 Democrats. And historically, Republicans don't loop Democrats in on budget negotiations. They've typically had a healthier majority, maybe one or two votes to spare. And that's been enough to pass a Republican budget without ever considering the asks of Democrats. But these new one-vote majorities in the House, and as this, it's the same dynamic in the Senate, I should note, that empowers individual Republicans to flex their muscles and make demands because they know Republican leaders can't afford to lose their vote. And it's also worth mentioning the budget could have passed if maybe only one Democrat decided to vote for it. But Democrats have been unanimously against the tax cut in the budget just for slightly different reasons than Cook.
Well, so why does Cook oppose the tax cut?
Fundamentally, he just thinks it's too big of a risk. We're talking a $1.9 billion annual loss in revenue, and he's not certain the state's economy can make up the difference. And he's not certain that, as other Republicans have argued, this tax cut will stimulate so much economic growth that Arizona will be better off for it.
In April, the Finance Advisory Committee met and reviewed the state's economic situation and concluded that we should not, quote, cut too deep in tax cuts because the rewards are not worth the risk involved.
And meanwhile, Democrats say the state's already cut so much in taxes. There has been at least a minor tax cut every year Governor Doug Ducey has been in office. Democrats say that enough is enough. There are better ways to spend the money on the state's needs, like education and infrastructure, among other things.
So, Ben, the big question now is, where do we go from here? I mean, lawmakers often talk about how the most important fundamental job they have is to pass a budget for the next fiscal year. It starts July 1st. You know, in the past, they've gone a little bit beyond that. I was there one year where they actually turned the clocks off in the chambers so that it almost became like it wasn't July 1st when they actually passed the budget. What happens now?
I suppose they could always create June 31st again this year, but yesterday's fiasco didn't help the situation. Republicans in the House have now isolated and perhaps angered Cook. His community was literally up in flames yesterday while he was at the Capitol. There is a wildfire out near his home in Globe that caused authorities to order an evacuation notice at his home. So he's stuck at the Capitol while all that's going on. And it's important to remember with that context that Republican leaders in the House knew in advance he was a no vote on the budget, but they forced the issue anyway just to get him on record with the idea that that would maybe like be a public shaming that how dare you vote no on a tax cut? I don't think that really worked out quite the way they were hoping. And the situation in the Senate isn't any better. Republican Senator Paul Boyer is no fan of the tax cut either. He's concerned that it'll harm cities and towns, which get a share of the income taxes collected at the state level. The Senate hasn't even been at the Capitol since May when they tried to force through a budget before Memorial Day. And apparently, Senate President Karen Fan, a Republican, has been in Hawaii this whole time. Senator Martine Quezada said Democratic leaders had a meeting yesterday and were told Fan won't return until tomorrow. Both the House and Senate are scheduled to be back at the Capitol on Thursday.
All right. Meanwhile, that clock is ticking. June 30th or maybe June 31st is coming up quickly. That is KJZZ's Ben Giles. Ben, thanks as always.
Thanks, Mark.